Let's open our Bibles to the 35th chapter of Genesis and the 16th verse.
Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, Rachel travailed in childbirth, and she had hard labor.
Yes, right up to the 19th verse. Right up to the 19th verse.
Now it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will have this son also." And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem.
Amen. Tonight I want to title the message, "You have naming rights." Look at somebody and say, "You have naming rights." Amen. Jacob was somebody who you would find in the Bible always naming. When he came to a place called Luz, where he met God for the first time, where he had a vision of God and God spoke to him, and the angels of God were ascending and descending, and the glory of God was all over the place. He got up in the morning and he named that place Bethel, which means the house of God. You remember in the book of Genesis 32, you find in the place where by the ford of Jabbok, he wrestled with an angel all through the night. And, you know, in the morning he called that place Peniel, which means I've seen the face of God. He named it. He had a habit of naming. As a matter of fact, he was called Jacob, which means a heel grabber. But after that encounter at Peniel, God actually changed his name and called him Israel, the beloved of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In a place called Mahanaim, which means the camp of God. I mean, he named it actually. He saw angels and he named it. So God has given you naming rights. Are you with me? Tonight, that's the message. You have naming rights. Look at somebody and say, "You have naming rights." Well, just a few simple points. The first thing was that the Bible says Rachel, Jacob's wife, was in labor. Rachel was a very beautiful girl. But she was barren. She had a struggle. She struggled with barrenness. As a pastor, I've seen sometimes you look at a church, you meet people. There are a lot of people who look good on the outside, but inside, they are frustrated. They are struggling. You meet them in church, they have God. And I ask you to look at your neighbor and say, "God is good." Some of you say, "God is good," but you don't believe it inside because you're miserable about something. You have the outward appearance of something else, and your inward struggle is something else. You're called a believer. You look like a believer. You smell like a believer. You dress like a believer. You act like a believer. But I wonder how many of you have come here actually with faith. You might be inwardly an unbeliever. Rachel looked good on the outside. She looked smashing. She was beautiful to look at. But inside, she was unable to produce. Her inside story was different. There's a saying, looks can be deceptive. Are you with me? Looks can be deceptive. I've seen over time and again, people who look kind of cool are not actually cool. People who look as if they've got everything together are actually very weak and vulnerable outside. People who appear kind of strong outside are sometimes struggling inside. People who are making others laugh outside are sometimes crying inside. But don't let that bother you, because we have a God who not only sees your outside, we have a God who sees you inside, and you can do a mighty work inside your soul by the power of His Spirit. If you believe that tonight, put your hands together. Bless the name of Jesus tonight. When you read the beginning of the chapter, God said unto Jacob, go back to Bethlehem, or go back to Bethel, the place where you first encountered God. Jacob, you know, the first time he encountered God, you will find that he was making deals with God. In Genesis 28, in Bethel, when he encountered God, God appeared to him, God spoke to him, and he got up, and you know what he's saying? Lord, if you're with me, if you will bless my food and water, if you will take care of my children, if you will protect me in my travel, and if I come back safely into the land that I have left, then I will say you are my God. Right now you are not my God. I go to church, I worship you, I praise you, I sing songs about you, but I'm not committed to you. I'll say you are my God when you do all this. The first time he's in Bethel, he was making deals with God. But look how he's matured over a certain period of time. The second time in Genesis 35, the chapter we read, when Jacob is going back to Bethel, the Bible says Jacob did not make any deals with God. He built an altar to God and began to thank God for all God's goodness over his life. Some of you, you've been coming to church for years and years and years, and it's always about you and your little worries and your problems to solve and your healing and your blessing and this and that. But God is looking for somebody who will say, Lord, no matter what happens in my life, I want to thank you. I want to build an altar to you. I want to glorify you. And I want to be committed to you no matter what happens in my life. Oh, come on. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many of you ever thank the Lord for already what God has done in your life? Isn't it amazing that I look at people, God has done so many things for them, but they don't remember anything. Every week they come after to church and making a new deal with God. Last week it was headache, this week it is stomachache. Last week it was a debt of 10,000 rupees, now it is 10 lakh rupees. Last week it was one problem or the other, this time it is a different problem. But it is time for some of you to mature. Are you with me? I pray this word will mature you. Some of you will respond to maturity and you will say, Lord, no matter what, I worship you, I'm committed to you, I will build an altar before you and sacrifice to you and glorify you no matter what is happening in my life. It doesn't matter where I am or what's happening in my life, I will give you glory, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing that Noah, the first thing that he did after he came out of the ark, he didn't go and build a house. He built an altar. He built an altar. He placed his priorities right. He was mature. He got out of the ark. The first thing that he did was, okay, now where do I find a home to build? No. He built an altar first. If you build an altar first, your home will follow. You take a commitment, your blessing will follow. Praise the Lord. When you place Jesus above everything else and sacrifice to Him and honor Him, everything else will follow in your life. When you place first things first, when you place Jesus first in your life, if you believe that, lift your hands and give Him a shout of praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your daughter's wedding will take place. Are you with me? Don't make deals with God, but build an altar first. Make your commitment. Your business will flourish. Your ministry will come out. Your children will come forth. Your generations will be blessed. But first things first, Jesus first. An altar to the Lord first. Let me sacrifice to God first. Let me place Him above everything else first. Hallelujah. Then everything else follow. Hallelujah. When you take that as your priority, the hand of God will be always with your life. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Bless the name of Jesus one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When you read the scriptures, you know, up to that point in Genesis 35, actually the Bible uses the word Jacob loved Rachel, where he spent about 14 years working. 14 years. And it seemed like a day or a second or a minute. It just went fast. I pray that you love Jesus like that. I've seen sometimes people come in and say, I've served him for 14 years. Oh boy, I'm so tired. I just need to go for a holiday. Come on, are you crazy? Jacob loved the woman. As a matter of fact, when you study scripture, it is amazing because the Bible doesn't say that Jacob loved anything else other than Rachel. The Bible does not even say Jacob loved God. Up to that point. Lift your head and say, Jesus, I love you, and I want to love you to the end of my life. I want to serve you all the way through to eternity. Jesus, I am yours. Amen. Amen. The third point that I want to describe here is the fact that Rachel prayed. That God would give her another son. Rachel prayed, Lord, I want another son. The point is this, God will answer your prayer, but sometimes you have to pay a price for it. She had to pay with her life. God will answer prayer, but you always pay a price for it. Another point you can actually say. For something to be born, something always has to die. For something to be born, something always has to die. Unless you die to your singleness, you can't get married. Most miserable people are that people who want to live a single life after getting married. You want to walk in the spirit, you have to die to your flesh. For something to be born, something has to die. You want to serve Jesus? Do you think, you know, God has to fit in with your plans? Okay, Lord, I've got some time here. I've got a lot of things to do. I've got to, you know, do business, take care of my wife, children. I got to take care of my estate, do this, do that. Lot of responsibilities, but I can fix it a time here, Lord, for you. And God can use the time that you give him. Do you think anybody who serves the Lord here does not have families, does not have other responsibilities and work? No, they do. But they said, let me place Jesus above everything else. Let me die to a lot of things to make sure that me. As a matter of fact, you know, I had to actually preach this message to myself because I wanted to see the little baby. But I had to spend the day in prayer. And then I, you know, wanted to spend a little bit of time. But I said, no. Yeah, I love the baby. Yeah, that's good. But then continue to serve him. that doesn't make me spiritual. That's not what I'm trying to say. All that I'm trying to say is you've got to die to something for you to live for God. Are you with me? And your future depends on where you focus. If you focus on what you have left or what you have died to, then there is a problem. But if you focus on what God has birthed in you and where God wants to lead you, something beautiful will happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, you got to die to something, maybe to bitterness, maybe to anger, maybe to something, just to selfishness maybe. Ministry means bigger challenges. And I love the time when we were just two or three people who would get together and pray and go out and have a meal and come back and go serving the Lord for crusades here and there. But as the church began to grow, it means, greater price to pay. Bigger your business, bigger challenges. Bigger the grapes, bigger giants. Are you with me? But hallelujah, our God is a God who gives us victory at all times when you put your faith in Him and trust in Him and when you continue to look to His holy face. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give Him a shout of praise one more time. She was in hard labor and pain, and she was not exactly sure whether she could produce for this baby. And aren't you glad for midwives? The midwife standing next to Rachel said, "You will have this son also." I thank God for people who act as midwives in the church, who will encourage somebody who is on the point of birthing something. Find something negative if you look for it. But when somebody is trying to walk, trying to serve God, trying to do the best that person can for the Lord, to look at something positive and encourage that, you can have this. I want to tell somebody who is on the verge of something that God wants to birth in you. You can do it. Are you with me? You can do it. You can birth it out. That dream that God has put in your spirit, you can birth it out. You can have a future. You can have the blessing coming forth. You can have a generation coming forth. You can push it forth. Hallelujah. You can go forward. God is with you. You can do it. When she birthed the child, she looked at that baby and named that baby and said, Benoni means sorrows, son of my sorrows. Ben means son, Oni, sorrow, son of my sorrows. She looked at that child and called it son of my sorrow. But that word Oni actually has got a different meaning also. It has got the meaning called strength. And I've seen sometimes the greatest strength comes always out of the greatest sorrow. Your greatest strength sometimes comes out of the greatest sorrow. Out of your greatest struggle, greatest strength comes. Jesus himself was called a man of sorrows. He was not called a man of sorrows because of what the devil did. As a matter of fact, when you study scripture, one of the reasons why Jesus was called a man of sorrows was because the very people that he came to redeem and save and help and bless, when they rejected him and left him. And I think that is a lesson for some of you who want to be a pastor. Somebody listening to me by net, you want to be a pastor, you are pastoring a church. And people have been leaving your church. People that you loved and prayed for and carried in prayer for years. Don't be afraid. Everyone who's left you is only for you to have greater strength for the greater blessings that God is going to do tomorrow in your ministry. Jesus was called a man of sorrows. People whom he loved and people whom he called his own, they just rejected and left him. Jewish culture, a mother cannot name the child. Only a father can name the child. And that is something that I want you to always remember. Are you with me? A mother cannot name the child in the Hebrew culture. It's always the father. And it is symbolic of the scriptures. The one who created you only can call you and name you. Only God can name you. Your classmate cannot. Your cousins cannot. Your friends cannot. Your enemies cannot. People who don't like you cannot name you. That name won't stand. They might look at you and say, you are stupid, you are a failure, you will never achieve anything in life. But God looks at you and names you and calls you his beloved. He says you are more than a conqueror. He says, hallelujah, that he will watch over you as the apple of your eye and he will keep you. Pray the Holy Spirit will just bring the light out of the scripture in your soul. Are you with me? Some of you are feeling like failures and losers and as nobodies in life. You know why? Because you've been looking to your father-in-law, your brother-in-law, your son-in-law, your somebody, your neighbor or your boss or somebody who is above you or somebody to name you. But let me tell you, only God can name you. Somebody have named you the wrong way, but God is gonna change that name and name you the way that he sees you. Rachel gives birth and calls this child in her pain, child of my sorrow. When you study Jacob's life, all through his life he was always looking for a blessing. He was going for a blessing. In the Bible, you remember when Jacob was later on blessing his grandchildren, one of them wanted the right hand over him. The right hand in the Bible is always symbolic of blessing. Rachel names him Benoni, child of my sorrows, and dies. Imagine, Jacob comes in. He's in a dilemma. The one that he loved is dead. The baby picks up that baby. And he's wondering what to name the baby. What do I name this baby? Looks at the child and decides to call that child Benjamin, son of my right hand. He's my blessing. He's my blessing. Everything happens for the good for those who love Jesus. I'm gonna name him my blessing. All through my life, I was looking for a blessing. I was looking for somebody to lay hand upon me, the right hand, and bless me. But now I'm going to look at this pain. Look at the situation. I'm going to call it my blessing, son of my blessing, son of my right hand. You have naming rights. Every challenge that you face in your life, you can look at it and call it. You remember in the Garden of Eden? God actually looked at what Adam would call all the animals that were brought before him. God looked. Adam, what are you going to call these animals? God just brought forth all kinds of animals. Adam could name the child anyway, the animals anyway that he wanted. Adam, you call it. I'm just bringing it. You call it. In your life, when things just come by, the sudden diagnosis of a sickness, you feel weak, you feel depressed, you feel lonely, you feel alone, you feel afraid. What are you going to name? What are you going to name? You look at that and say, it is my blessing. No, you don't get to choose what comes into your life. Nobody gets to choose. Are you with me? Nobody gets to choose what comes into their life. A bad exam report, a health problem. The Bible says in Joel chapter 3 and verse 10, let those who are weak say, yeah, name. When you're weak, say. Don't look at that weakness and say, I am weak. I'm doubly weak. I'm alone. And I'm doubly alone, lonely. Don't say that. Let the weak say. You're going to name it strong. Ah, come on. You look at your finances and what are you going to say? We used to sing that song. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the sick say, I am healed. You can name it. You can name it. Everything that comes across in your life, no matter what, whether the devil brought it, whether you brought it upon yourself, whether God brought it, maybe in the dilemma you do not know who brought what. But let me tell you, you have the right, the capability and the power to choose what you will name that which has come across your life. And you can call forth it as a blessing. You can call forth it as a blessing. Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe the same dysfunction, the same trouble, the same loveless marriage, the same boss and job. What they got a name? There are two types of people. There are people who call things as they it is. Literally, young, very straightforward. Young, carry mother, body, young, parayu, brother. Young, depressed. That is good, but it doesn't change that. It doesn't change the situation. Are you with me? We can look at your situation, say, I'm depressed or lonely or discouraged or worried, or you can take your right hand out of your pocket. Take your right hand. Let there be an anointing on your right hand. In the name of Jesus, Father, anoint every right hand. Anoint every right hand. Help them to call forth and name something. Hallelujah. You can take your right hand out of your pocket and call it what you want it to be. But that is faith. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Call it what it want it to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can call it what you want it to be. God has given the power of your future into your hands, into your mouth. You can call it. You have naming rights. You have naming rights. You have naming rights. You have naming rights. Look at dead situations like the prophet Ezekiel. And he called forth life. An army came out. Praise the Lord. So this is the message. And by the way, so many of you prophesied, some of you said, so many people, it's going to be a boy. And maybe a little bit. I love children, I love boys, but maybe a little bit I thought, okay, the first one is going to be a boy. I also thought the first one was going to be a boy. Suddenly, when the doctor said, it's a girl, I thought I didn't hear it properly. But then I had this scripture playing on my mind. I knew. That's my blessing. Everything that a boy can do, the girl can do. Praise the Lord. That's my blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You want to have a woman pastor in the church? She can be a woman pastor. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I thought I'm going to call her a blessing. I'm going to call her Rania. That's the name for the baby. Rania. Praise the Lord. Rania. Praise. We named her after our mother, my mother, Rani, Rania. But that word Rania also means nobility, because I know she belongs to Jesus. Praise the Lord, she is of noble birth. God is the one who gave the child, so we're going to call her Rania, nobility, queen. That's what it means. So would you thank the Lord with me for the baby? And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and thank the Lord for that. Give him the glory and the honor. Amen. Amen. But the title today is You Have Naming Rights. Would you stand up on your places today? Let's pray together. I do not know what situation you're going through. Without faith, you can just call it what it is. Or you can look at that situation and call it forth. Would you close your eyes? Lift your voices to Him. Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the name above all names. Father, I accept your Son into my heart, into my life. And I thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my God. I surrender to you. I want to love you and serve you all the days of my life. I give you my life, Jesus. Anoint me with your Holy Spirit. I renounce the devil. Forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Let your anointing be upon my life. I thank you, Jesus. I receive by faith every blessing that you have got for me. Thank you for your authority and for naming rights. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me the capability and the gifting and the wisdom to name everything that has come into my life. Everything that has come in my life, no matter what it is, I want to name it, Lord, by the power of your Spirit. Give me the wisdom to name things the way that you want me to, not the way the world shows me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lift your hands and praise.
Hallelujah. We praise you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord.